Hello, Advancement Division, and welcome to what I'm thinking of as the reboot of my podcast for all of you. A couple of years ago, I did try my hand at this format for communicating with everyone, and we had some wonderful conversations and guests and people that you shared with me you loved hearing from, and I just couldn't somehow keep it up. So today is my the beginning of my New Year's resolution for being in regular communication using this platform. And as you all probably know, we've tried lots of different ways to be in touch with one another, to share information, to share ideas, and really importantly, to share our achievements and successes, whether it was the weekly and then monthly town halls during the height of COVID, or our upstairs gatherings, hearing from people about the new academic plan, or even an old school email in which I was able to tell you all what a wonderful month of December that we had as an organization. So today in our reboot, I'm thinking of retitling this podcast. You can certainly weigh in on what you think will work. But as we near our public launch of the campaign and really hone in on a brand, we're really talking a lot about experience, an experience powered by Northeastern. So my working title for our podcast today is Experience Community, powered by the Advancement Division. And over the upcoming weeks, I hope to be bringing you really interesting conversations with people that you may know, and I'm hoping you'll get to know them better, or maybe you haven't had a chance to meet them yet. And that's why I'm really excited to start off this podcast talking about talent, talking about you. And I can think of no better way to do that than to introduce Adele Mezer. Now, one of the reasons also I thought about doing this podcast is it occurred to me that many of you may have seen Adele on the fourth floor. She's often embedded in some office, or she's going from office to office. And those of you who have been recruited by Adele no doubt know her. But many of you may be thinking, who in the heck is this person and what does she do? So I thought that's where we would start in talking about talent. So welcome, Adele, to the reboot of my podcast.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Premiere episode. It's a little pressure.
You're going to be great. You're going to set the standard for everyone who follows. So I guess I'd start with just the most basic question. What is it that you do? What is executive search? And what was your journey to finding this as a career and as your passion?
Thanks for asking. Executive search at its core is matchmaking. We are partnered with a hiring authority, whether that is an institution or a hiring manager, and we're getting to know what they need in terms of experience and skill set on their team, and we're going out and recruiting that person. We are making cold calls and reaching out to executives and professionals around the country, around the world as needed, and getting them excited about a new role with our client organization. When, this is often my first interview question.
So we turn the tables, right?
Yes. It's a little bit of tell me about your journey. What did you think you were going to be when you grew up? And for me, so I was born south of Beirut in a fishing village to parents who were both teachers. My father, he taught geometry and my mother taught French. And I was born in the start of a civil war. So we came to the States and we settled outside of Boston in an inner city. And I grew up thinking I was going to be a lawyer. And I ended up at a high school that had a co-op program.
Really?
Not unlike Northeastern. And so my senior year, I landed in a marketing firm that produced corporate videos. And I learned about Digital Equipment Corporation and Marshalls. And I was fascinated by this world that felt, for me as an immigrant, very American. And I was thrilled with it. My supervisor at the time switched jobs, and she landed at a search firm in Burlington, Massachusetts, called me one day and said, we need someone to do some work around the office, some administrative work. And I said, sure, I'll give it a shot. And I landed there, and I fell in love. And over the course of my first decade in search, I moved through positions in IT, then research, then marketing. And then I asked one of the partners at this search firm, can I try my hand at recruiting? And he took me out to lunch, and on the back of a paper napkin, he wrote down, this is how you sell a job. And here are the top three things that you want to bring to a candidate. And my first search was for a software company in the Bay Area called Macromedia. They were since bought by Adobe. It was for a VP of HR. I remember seeing the name of the woman who ran HR at 3M. And I said, okay, I'm going to call her. I'm going to get her. Dialed her number. She picked up and said hello, and I hung up. And we've made history ever since, though, because you can't stop me from talking or making a phone call now. But as the years rolled on, it's 28 years for me in search. And I made a switch into nonprofit, started to build a specialty in advancement and development, mm-hmm. met Northeastern maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and have been thrilled to be working here. The mission of the university and your vision, it feels right to me and my life experiences, and it's something I can bring some authenticity to. When I hit 25 years in search, I turned to a longtime friend and colleague, Maeve Clifford. Mm-hmm. We both met at a search firm. I was recruiting, she was conducting research. And we've always thought about doing something together. And at my 25th year, she looked at me and she said, why don't we do what we know best and let's launch a firm. And so we're 3 years into Pearl Street Collective, partnering with universities and nonprofits on mainly development talent. And it's been incredible.
So I was going to ask you about that, a few things. First is, why Pearl Street? Where does the name come from?
Maeve and I met at a search firm in Boulder, Colorado, and we worked on Pearl Street. And if you ever visited Pearl Street, it's uh-huh. essentially our version of Faneuil Hall. So we spent a lot of time walking to coffee shops, shopping. There was a lot of hours spent on Pearl Street, and that's our origin story. Mm-hmm. That's where we met, and so we're carrying that with us.
That's a wonderful story. And so in addition to the work that you do, you're also a founder. You're also an entrepreneur. And it sounds like that is an aspect of your career that came after, you know, really fulfilling 25 years. What is it? Was it scary? What's it like to launch that entrepreneurial journey when you've had success in a more, you know, traditional firm setting?
It was a little terrifying because you feel like you don't have a safety net. But I remember talking to my father about it. And what an example of courage, despite being fearful, that he and my mother set for me when we mm-hmm. first came to this country. And he said, you know what you're doing. Just go for it. And I really believe that good work begets good work. And so it, for Maeve and I, when we think about our clients, we have to deliver the best service. We have to get you the best results and outcome because we need you to keep working with us.
Right. And how many, this is maybe an unfair question, and I probably should have figured this out myself before I walked in the room. Can you just estimate how many people have you placed with us in the advancement division at Northeastern over the 3 years that we've been working with Pearl Street, but even before that we worked together?
I should have anticipated that question, but my educated guess is about 36 people at this point.
So clearly it's working because we keep working with you. And I can tell you from my perspective, it just gets better and better because as you understand our division and the talent that we need, and most importantly, where the university is going, I think you've been better and better able to find those people who are not only, you know, talented and have the right experience, but who are good cultural fits. So I want to go back to that a little bit, the sense of executive search is matchmaking. How do you, you know, you source and you source and you source and you get people with the right resumes, the right CVs, but how do you sense that cultural fit? Is it just like a magical thing you've developed?
I want to say yes to that question, but it's not. And we're thinking about cultural fit in a couple of ways, because we want individuals who share your same values, but we want them to be additive. They can't look and talk and think like everyone else, mm-hmm. right? That's how you're building this diverse culture, which I love about Northeastern. Being a recruiter is part salesperson, part psychologist, and part project manager. And the sales and the psychology work together in that case, because we're crafting questions that tie back to the experience and the talent that you're looking for. So if you need a fundraiser, a producer, we are asking questions and looking for specific details about their portfolio and the dollars that they've raised and the donor stories. If you're looking for that entrepreneurial streak, we're asking questions about what happens when you run into an obstacle or you're hearing no time and again. What do you do? And we start listening really carefully as to why they made certain decisions. So when I call you and I say, Diane, tell me about your story. What did you think you were going to be when you grew up? And I start to hear that narrative. I want to understand why you decided to move from USC to Northeastern. And as I hear the reasonings and the life experiences that you have, patterns start to emerge about who you are at your core. And so all of those data points now, we connect the dots back to the role, the institution. Will this person match the values? Is their approach to the work what Northeastern is looking for? And that's how we find the fit. But it doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes you have to work for the fit. And it's about the dynamics of the team and getting them to gel. It doesn't happen on day one.
Hi, podcast listeners. We wanted to take a minute to invite you to an event that should be interesting. On Tuesday, February 17th, Diane will be having a conversation with Jim Husson. He's the Senior Vice President for Advancement at Boston College. The dialogue, happening at 11 a.m. in the Alumni Center, will focus on issues facing the development industry today. Look out for an upcoming email with everything you need to register. Thanks. Let's get back to the podcast.
Couple of quick personal things so that people get to know you. I read that that your husband is a marathoner.
That's right.
And you're a runner also?
I'm forced to be a runner. He ran Boston twice am I going to remember the years? He ran New York in 2017, Boston in 2018, which was the year of torrential downpour. And I did not even like being a spectator, but I showed up. And then he ran Boston again virtually in 2020. So to keep up with him, literally to keep up with him.
You've got to hit the pavement.
As well.
Tell us about Jack, the rescue cat.
Oh my gosh, I love that guy. So growing up in my household, animals were not a consideration. They are outside. My parents were accustomed to farm animals. You don't let the chickens, you know, the goats into the house. That's outside business. And I never had a pet growing up. I was looking through the MSPCA website, much like you probably look through like a matchmaking site. And I saw this cat. He was white and gray. He looked kind of sad. And I told my husband, I said, Dave, we're going to Brighton to the MSPCA. I've got to check out this cat. And I called the MSPCA and they said, who are you interested in? I said, Jack. And they said, I don't think so. He has behavioral issues. And they went through these series of questions. They were interviewing me, and I was not deterred. I have to meet this cat. And so we showed up at the MSPCA. Jack was in a staff person's office because he refused to be fit into a cage. And the second I walked in the room, he jumped off of his window perch and right up and nuzzled into my neck. And that was it. The staff was shocked. And they said, this cat is clearly meant to be with you. So we took him home. It was a rough couple of weeks as he found his way around. But I think nearly everyone here has met Jack if they've been on a Zoom with me. He loves the camera. He likes to be involved. And he's a fascinating personality.
So he's another member of the recruitment team for Northeastern. Who can resist being interested in working at Northeastern when they've met Jack the rescue cat?
That's right.
So one last thing. You're from Lebanon. The president's from Lebanon. How many times has he asked you about what your favorite food is or whether you know how to make a particular dish at home?
I brought him baklava the last time I saw him. And I think I stunned him for a moment. But he got me on at the end of our meeting, because when he left, he said goodbye to me in Arabic. And it is a... it's a phrase that has a response to it, and I forgot the response. So he was saying goodbye, and I thought to myself, shoot, I'm supposed to say something specific to him. And I just like mumbled a goodbye, and I left, and I called my mother. And I said, Mom, when someone says this, what am I supposed to say? And she told me. So now I wrote it down. I have it in my back pocket for the next time this happens, because I know it will. But I love having that in common with him.
Is there anything I should have asked you that you wanted to cover that we didn't manage to in our short time on this podcast?
I wasn't sure if you were interested in any of my stories from early days of recruiting. I'll throw one out.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
In case it's helpful.
Of course, it's always helpful. I can tell by the gleam in your eyes this is going to be a good one.
It's more a revealing of who I was maybe 15 years ago than anything else. But one of my first development searches was with this holistic center in the Northeast. I'm not going to offer up any names or any of that. And I'm a city girl. I show up in this rural setting, in this center that is all about mind, body, spirit, women's empowerment, visual arts, world music. And they had cabins on their campus. So they show me to my cabin. There's no lock on the door. I walk in, there's a twin bed, a tattered white towel and a block of soap, and a table and a chair. The window was opened and the lock was broken. And I thought to myself, I am never going to make it. I would be more comfortable walking the streets of Boston or Miami or LA at 2 a.m. than hearing the distant sound of an animal out in the woods. So I barricaded myself in the room. And I wondered how I was going to connect with this mission and be able to sell this opportunity and find the right person. And interestingly enough, we built a research strategy that looked at institutions of arts and culture. We looked at women's colleges, liberal arts colleges. Just 12 miles down the road from this holistic center lived a woman, Kate, who was in the parent program at Bard College, which is a blend of performing arts and liberal arts education. She was a ballet dancer. For her whole life, she studied ballet. She remained a dancer. She sold essential oils on the side. And I looked at her LinkedIn profile. I owe her a call this week. She's about to celebrate 10 years with this institute.
That's amazing. Did they upgrade the towels?
I don't know. I've never been back. So that's a testament to really absorbing your client's mission, finding the right person, and to think she's been there for 10 years, she's been promoted. That's the stuff that makes me feel really good.
Oh, that's a wonderful story, and we'll look forward to, hopefully you can tell stories about all those dozen people who are here at Northeastern, thanks to the work you do for us. So thank you again, Adele, for being here, for being our inaugural, might we say sacrificial, inaugural guest for the podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I look forward to your feedback, to hearing more about what you liked about this, suggestions you might have for the future, either topics or people you'd like to hear from. In the meantime, I'm looking forward to teeing up our next episode, which will be a deep dive into data, featuring Jennifer Barrymore and Samira Malik. So stay tuned for that, and I hope that I will see all of you very, very soon. In person. Drop me a note, though. Boy, there's so many ways to reach us these days, right? You can just don't Teams chat me. I don't look at my Teams chat. Any other way, though, email, text, stop by, send a smoke signal, do a snow angel across in Carter Field. Thank you all for all that you do, and we'll see you again soon.